All right, this is the time of year that if you now that I actually have a commute to yeshiva, so I listen to the radio a lot more, and the advertisements are all about getting the perfect gift for the person who has everything or who you can't think of the perfect gift for. And of course, every advertisement you hear knows what exactly that perfect gift is that you can get for the person who has everything. Yaakov has to get a gift in this week's parasha, except his challenge in finding the gift is not what to give, it's more how to give. Meaning, Yaakov doesn't seem particularly concerned about what he's giving. He gives what he gives. He gives a bunch of animals. So it's not, you know, we don't find much focus on that. The focus of the Torah seems to be on how to present it to Esav, how to give it to Esav. Because Yaakov realizes that no matter how generous his gift is, at the end of the day, Esav doesn't need it. When you're getting a gift from somebody who has everything, he doesn't really need what you're getting him. So you're best off trying to present a gift that's meaningful to him, not because of what it is, but because of the way that it is presented. So Yaakov very wisely focuses on that. Esav has everything a person could ever want. But instead of tying a giant ribbon around each animal and presenting it in that way, Yaakov insists instead, Vayitein biyad avodav eder eder levado, Vayomer avodav ivru lefanai, Verevach tasimu bein eder vein eder. That between the different sets, the groups of animals, there was going to be revach. He was going to leave space. And that he would space it out properly. So he split the gift into a bunch of different groups. What was the purpose of that? How was that a better presentation of the gift than to give a massive gift all at one time? Question number two. The Torah makes a very clear distinction between the way Yaakov expresses himself and the way Esav expresses himself in regard to their own wealth. When they describe how they're doing materially, Yaakov speaks of yesh li kol. Esav says yesh li rav. So Rashi assumes that Rav actually means more than Kol. That Esav is saying that he was showing off. He was saying that he has even more than he needed. Yaakov says Esav says Yeshli Rav, that Yaakov is saying, I have everything I need, and Esav is saying, I have even more than I need, I'm so wealthy, that it was showing off his immense wealth. The Kli Yakar, however, probably in one of the unique circumstances, one of the unique examples in all of Tanakh, where the Kli Yakar's pshat is probably more well known than Rashi's pshat, Kli Yakar says, no, the difference between Yeshli Rav and Yeshli Kol is that Yeshli Rav means that that Esav, when he says Yeshli Rav, means I have everything which is less than Kol. I have a lot, but not everything. I could always use more. You know, if only I had that, if only I had a little bit more. That's what Esav was saying. Yaakov was saying, I have everything I need. I can't imagine anything that I could possibly need. You ask someone, you know, a lot of people ask me after my son's bar mitzvah, what can we get him? What does he need? So the difference between his answers and my answers, you know, my answer was, he has everything. What do you mean? What can he need? He has, like, food. He has a roof over his, you know, he has a bed to sleep in. Like, I don't understand. He doesn't need anything. And he's like, well, I have a list. And he actually wrote a list. He had some ideas. So the difference between Yesh Li Rav, Yesh Li Kol, says the Kli Yakar, is that Yaakov was saying, I have everything I need. I don't know what else I could possibly need. Whereas Esav was saying, look, I got a lot, but I could think of things. I could think of other things that I wouldn't mind having. So of all the distinctions to draw between the fathers of these two great nations, of these two massive nations, at the height of their success, at the height of their powers, between Yaakov and Esav, why would the Torah emphasize the attitude toward wealth as being a distinguishing characteristic? Meaning, there were some other distinguishing characteristics. Like, for instance, Yaakov was an Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim, and Esav was a bloodthirsty murderer. That's a pretty big difference. Why doesn't the Torah emphasize that? Why is the Torah fixated on Yeshli Rav, Yeshli Kol, which really seems to be a very minor difference, so minor a difference that Rashi and the Kli Yakar don't even agree on which one means more. They both mean that I have a lot of stuff. So it seems like a very, very minor difference between Yaakov and Esav. In what way does that shape the character of these two great nations? So again, two questions. First of all, what was the point of spacing the gift in the way that Yaakov spaced it? And second of all, how does the description, Yeshli Rav, Yeshli Kol, really represent what Yaakov and Esav are all about? So there's a Rambam. The Rambam understands, Rambam to the Pirush Mishnayos writes, that in order for a person to be a Navi, so how do you what kind of experience do you need on your resume in order to become a Navi? What kind of credentials does a person need to be a Navi? So the Rambam says you need two essential ingredients. You need malos hasichlios or malos hamidos. You need to be intellectually gifted. Sichlios means intellectually gifted. You can't be a person who has who's unintelligent to be a Navi. And you need midos. You need to have very refined character. One without the other, you don't qualify. Now, to be clear, the Rambam says you may be the most brilliant person in the world and the most refined character in the world and still not make it. You know, God could still decide that he's not going to speak to you, that you're not going to become a Navi, but those are the prerequisites. And then you need a little mazli, you know, because Baruch Hu to choose you and to actually speak to you. But those are the two prerequisites. God, you don't even make it to the drawing of who gets to be a Navi if you don't have those two characteristics. The Rambam in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah and in the seventh parak, ironically, of the Shemona Prakim, explains that when the Gemara says that a person can only achieve Nevuah if he's an Ashir, the Gemara says that the Shechina is not Shorah on somebody unless he's an Ashir, so the Rambam understands that that means the way Pirkei Avos describes an Ashir, defines an Ashir. How does Pirkei Avos define an Ashir? Ezu Ashir, Hasamech B'chalko, that it's the Midah of Estapkos. Rabbeinu Yonah, who happens to disagree with the Rambam's interpretation of that Gemara, he thinks Ashir means that he has to actually have a lot of money, but he also emphasizes the importance of this Midah of Istapkus as a critical Midah. The Rabbeinu Yonah writes that Mishi Hisik Ha'anava Mene Yadua Shu Moshal Al Yitzro Vishi Higia Al Midas Istapkus Kimi Yitzro Moshal Allah Vishi Hidak Tamid Lamashalo Hisik Efshar Shiyasik Osa Namailos, that it's a gateway Midah. Histapkus is not just one midah amongst many, it's often a gateway to other midos tovos. That if a person has a sense that he has what he needs and he's comfortable with what he has, that often leads to other positive midos. Meaning as follows: human beings by nature always strive for more. Miluasa Aretz V'Kivshua, God tells the first man, you have to fill the world and conquer it. We're conquerors. We always want to do more. We always want to accomplish more. We always want to grow in one way or another. There are some people who spend their entire lives trying to get nicer clothing, a fancier car, a promotion at work. You know, that's natural. The natural desire is to grow, to do more, to have more than my parents had, more than I had yesterday, to always want more, more, more. Once a person gets past those things in life and is comfortable with the blessings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him, then you would hope that he'd be able to turn his attention to what's truly valuable. Meaning, a person is going to focus in one of two directions. Either he's always going to want more, but some people want more in Gashmius, and some people want more in Ruchnius. If we were to write down the difference between Yaakov and Esav, you know, the various differences, there's not enough paper in the world to write down all the differences between Yaakov and Esav. But the Torah finds an underlying cause for all of those differences. The point of departure, where these two twins, who were so similar, and just started veering off on different paths, and they end up in a place where you don't even, one doesn't look like the other. They look like they're from completely different families. They look like they're completely different nations. They have no resemblance to each other. What was that point of departure? Where did they veer from each other? It seems that the Torah is emphasizing that the point of departure is Yeshli Rav, Yeshli Kol. That when a person says about his money that I have everything I need, well, where's his growth going to be then? Where's that basic human nature of wanting to do more, wanting to accomplish more? Well, then it's going to be focused on Ruchnius. But if a person focuses that creative energy and that desire for growth on his Gashmius, then to the extent that it's focused on his Gashmius, it's taken away from his Ruchnius. And that's where Esav, and that's what led Esav to everything that he did. Every decision all of a sudden is made through the prism of how's this going to affect my bottom line? What's this going to do for my physical well-being, for my financial well-being? Whereas Yaakov's decisions are all made based on how's this going to affect me spiritually. And Yaakov was very wealthy also, but that wasn't the point. That's not where he was looking to grow. The Gra understands the pasuk in Mishlei, Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im V'Tov Lev Mishnah Tamid, to be referring to this exact issue. The Ani, what's an Ani? So an Ani is not just someone who doesn't have money. An Ani is someone that's the opposite of an Ashir. And if an Ashir is Sameach b'chelko, the Ani could be a billionaire, but if he's not Sameach b'chelko, he's an Ani. So Kol Yimei Ani Ra'im. All of his days are Ra. It's not what he wants. He never has enough, because Mishi Yesh L'mana Rotsa Masayim. On the other hand, Tov Lev, person who appreciates what he has, is Mishtah Tamid. He's able to appreciate everything that he has. He's able to enjoy that which he has. I mean, a person can be very wealthy, but if all he wants is more, he's not going to enjoy the wealth that he has. A person could not be so wealthy, but if he appreciates what he has, he'll be able to enjoy what he has. So ironically, the wealthier person may not have as much hana'ah from his gashmius as the poorer person. The Rama begins his commentary to Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim with the words, Shivisi Hashem L'negdi Samid. He concludes Aruch Chaim, his commentary to Aruch Chaim, his Hagos on Aruch Chaim, V'tov Lev Mishta Tamid. So a lot has been made of how the Rama sandwiches the entire section of Aruch Chaim with those two phrases. The message may be that if a person looks at this world from a Shivisi Hashem L'negdi Samid, a God perspective, then he'll achieve a sense of satisfaction with whatever material blessings he has. V'tov lev, mishta tamid. Person who's a tov lev is always going to be enjoying. So now that we understand that, let's take a look at Yaakov's gift. His gift has to reflect his attitude toward his material blessings, and may also be a very subtle message to Esav. Rashi writes that what was the point of spacing the gift? So we know this. Rashi, lahasbia einav shel Esav. Esav would look at it and be impressed. It looks bigger. When you space it out, it looks bigger. It looks like more. Yaakov is telling him, look, two people can look at the same item and see two totally different things. You can look at the same piece of food, and one person sees just a little piece of chicken, and the other one sees a gourmet meal. You ever go to a really fancy restaurant with small portions? You know, some people in there, it's like, wow, that's amazing. So, you know, others are like, where's the food? You can look at the same thing, and you see completely different things. Part of appreciating Gashmias is looking at it in a positive light, looking at it the right way. Two people, I'll give the example last year, two people have an iPad. Right? One person sees this amazing, wondrous machine that like can do everything. And, you know, just 5 years ago, it would have been unimaginable that there would be something like this that could do all these amazing things. Nowadays, they don't really do anything. You know, they're just coming out with new products. So a smaller one, a slightly smaller one, a much smaller one, a little smaller, you know. So, but the idea, the concept, when the, you know, when Steve Jobs came down with the tablets, that was the concept of it was huge. Another person could look at it and say, you know, I only have the iPad 1. It doesn't even have a camera. It's a piece of garbage. Last year, it was the coolest, well, 2 years ago, it was the coolest thing in the whole world. Now it's a piece of garbage. Why is it any different? No, our expectations are different. Our hasagos are different. And when our hasagos are different, it affects the way that we're able to appreciate what we have. The Sforno adds one more point over here. The Sforno adds that if the animals were too close to each other, they may jump from one group to the next and get mixed up with each other. There's also an important point. Says the Sforno, if you want to appreciate what you have, you need to stay there. You need organization. If you were to take your clothes and just throw them in a pile in the middle of your room, you have nothing. Because you want to wear your blue shirt and you have no idea where it is. It's like somewhere in there. It's like you have nothing. You have this massive pile, but it's nothing. When you have everything misudar, you have everything organized, then you have everything. And you have full stock, you know exactly what you have and you know exactly where to find it. So Yaakov was trying to show Esav how one appreciates what they have. Number one, looking at it in a positive way. Looking at everything not about how much more I could have or how much more I wish I did have or whatever my asagos are, but just looking at it for what it is and appreciating what it is. And number two, to keep organized, to keep stock of things and not to mistreat things and to have an organized mind and have an appreciation. That's why Yaakov is worried about Pachim Katan, because he values everything individually. It's not just a bunch of stuff. A lot of times after the hurricane, a lot of people, since the hurricane, the superstorm, excuse me, people have been saying a lot, you know, properly, they've been saying, we're very thankful that it could have been, because it could have been a lot worse, and it was just stuff. I've been thinking about that a little bit. Is that an appropriate phrase for us to say? It was just stuff. Yaakov loved Pachim Ketanim. He went after Pachim Ketanim. I was talking to a Jew from Bell Harbor who told me, he said, next time a person tells me it was just stuff, he said, I had in my possession a ksav yad from the Chafetz Chaim that's gone now. They don't make those anymore. That's not just stuff. We should appreciate that just stuff is a loss also. Now, it's true for ourselves and for whatever we may have lost, if we lost anything, that's a proper attitude to have, that we should, you know, it could have been much worse. We have Hodat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that, you know, we have our health and we have it. But when dealing with other people and being sensitive to what other people lost, you know, a home is not just stuff. And the things in the home are not just stuff. It's something that we appreciate and we value. Now, it's not our goal in life. It's the exact dichotomy of Yaakov. Yaakov is the one who likes the Pachim Ketanim, who's interested in it, and who cares about the little things, but it was never his goal. It was never something that's what he was trying to achieve. Whatever he had, he was so happy with, because he was able to look at it and appreciate it for what it was without looking at what he doesn't have. I think that's an important balance for us, you know, in the aftermath of everything that we've seen and that we've been through, that many people are still going through, is to take stock of that which we have been blessed with and appreciate that which we have been blessed with. And at the same time, because we appreciate what we have been blessed with, appreciate how difficult it is for people to be going through what they're going through, and not to dismiss it as just stuff. It certainly isn't the destruction of our goals in life, but it's the destruction of much that was valued a great deal.